I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. And then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Fight the power. What we got to
say. Fight the power. Come on. This week in Radical History for the week starting December 1st.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes.
So starting on December 1st, 1842, Philip Spencer was the first U.S. naval officer condemned for mutiny and was hung for it. He wanted to take over the ship, the USS Summers, and become a pirate. Arr, matey, don't we all.
Yo!
Yo-ho!
Yo-ho! A pirate's life for me!
I love this song!
Also on December 1st, 1899, Robert Welsh discovers there are commies under every bed in America and grows up to found the Wacky John Birch Society, an ultra-right-wing organization based in my home state, Appleton, Wisconsin. Also on December 1st, 1914, Fame Labor Song, Solidarity Forever, written by IWW songwriter Rolf Chaplin for a hunger march to be led by anarchist Lucy Parsons in Chicago. Here is part of that song.
Inspiration through the workers' blood shall run. There can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun. Yet what force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one? But the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever.
It is we who plowed the prairies, built the cities where they trade, dug the mines and built the workshops, endless miles of railroad laid. Now we stand outcast and starving, mid the wonders we have made, but the union makes us strong. They have taken untold millions that they never toiled to earn. But without our brain and muscle, not a single wheel can turn. We can break their haughty power, gain our freedom when we learn that the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever.
In our hands is placed a power greater than their hoarded gold, greater than the might of atoms magnified a thousandfold. We can bring to birth a new world from the ashes of the old, for the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever.
Also on December 1st, 1919, Alexander Berkman, Emma Goldman, and 200-plus other anarchists, labor militants, and radicals are forced to leave the land of the free, deported to Russia on a rust bucket Buford labeled the Death Ship. As then, through 9/11 now, when protesting the Iraq invasion, subject due to arrest and labeled as traitor. America believes we have free speech only if no one practices it. Also on that day, in 1955, Rosa Parks, an African-American, gets busted refusing to give her seat in front of the bus to a white man and is forced to sit in the back in Montgomery, Alabama. This sets off a successful year-long bus boycott by blacks and sparks a civil rights movement for the next decade. Despite the popular understanding of this event, there were a few other successful bus boycotts years previous to the Rosa Parks efforts. Also on that date, 1968, in Vietnam, an American C-123 develops engine troubles, lightens its load by spraying a full tank of defoliant over two South Vietnamese towns, those are allies, by the way, causing deaths and widespread birth defects for generations. A couple more items for December 1st, 1968. Public release of the Rights of Conflict, commonly called the Walker Report. They were nationally charged with a study and reporting on the urban riots to investigate the convention week disturbances of the Democratic National Convention. They reviewed over 20,000 pages of statements from 3,437 witnesses and participants, 180 hours of film, and over 12,000 still photographs. The Walker Report attached the label, Police Riot, during the event of the Chicago riots during the DNC. Now we need an equivalent investigation into police riots during the RNC this past September. Lastly, for December 1st, 1999, World Trade Organization delegates, after a warm welcome yesterday in Seattle, are unable to meet because of the protesters. Last night, a civil emergency was declared and a curfew imposed. Today, the downtown area is cordoned off by police and National Guard units are brought in. Shoppers flee the malls. Solidarity protests occur around the world as well, including London, Paris, New York, and San Francisco. This week in radical history for December 2nd, 1954, Senate censures Joe McCarthy, Senator Republican from Wisconsin, for, quote, conduct that tends to bring the Senate into dishonor and dispute, unquote. The censure finally ends Joe's circus, now that the media had gotten all the mileage out of it could, and ends his probes into alleged communist infiltration. Many states, however, continue to do their own investigations. Several southern states later convened their own anti-American activity committee meetings and turned it into apparatus for harassing and jailing civil rights supporters. Quoting a right-wing mayor, "You hear about constitutional rights, free speech, and the free press. Every time I hear these words, I say to myself, that man is a Red. You never hear real Americans talk like that." The Reds obviously hate our freedom. Also on December 2nd, 1956, the boat Granma, with 82 under Fidel Castro, head off to fight against Batista and the American Mafia. They'll eventually succeed, as most of the Cuban people are unhappy with U.S. Mafia control of their lands and start massive civil disobedient campaigns that support Castro's efforts. A couple of quick more factoids for December 2nd, like in 1970 in Philadelphia, when the FBI admits that they have infiltrated black student groups at 13 campuses. Let freedom ring. Also on that date in 1980, El Salvador, four Catholic missionary women are killed by U.S. government-backed death squads. The U.S. government wants to claim that the Catholic missionaries probably were toting guns for leftist guerrillas. Nuns with guns. Also in 1980, the International Human Rights Body finds that the U.S., Canada, and several Latin American countries guilty of cultural and physical genocide in their present-day treatment of Indian populations. Also in 1983, Convention Prohibiting Inhumane Weapons comes into force. The U.S. is the largest manufacturer and seller of weapons, including biological and chemical weapons of mass destruction, and refuses to sign treaties outlawing landmines. Answering the time-old question, who would Jesus bomb? Apparently anyone that can pay U.S. weapons dealers enough money. Lastly, for December 2nd, 1999, World Trade Organization Day 3. Delegates try to meet as a core 50-block area downtown Seattle is declared off-limits to protesters, and most businesses in the area are closed. The civil emergency remains in effect. Over 225 protesters arrested and held overnight and denied access to lawyers and phone calls. For the second night in a row, police and protesters clash in nearby Capitol Hill area, where many residents are gassed and shot with rubber bullets. Protests continue in other U.S. cities and around the world as well, including 6,000 in the Philippines. Seattle media begins to blame confrontations and acts of vandalism on the Eugene, Oregon anarchist group. A message from the Eugene anarchists published in the paper criticized unions and other WTO opponents as part of the glue holding the rotting order together. It is time to create a new world from the ashes after the ruined one. Fight back and don't get caught. Excerpt from the Seattle Times, 1999. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, and that's fine as ever wrong. We march together. This week in radical history for December 3rd, 1857, Joseph Conrad, author of the book Secret Agent, is born. The book Secret Agent expressed forms of religious fanaticism that he contends connected with dangers of both foreign imperialism and the lower classes. However, you can see a movie loosely based on this great book called Secret Agent, starring with an excellent performance from Robin Williams as a nihilistic bomber. That is Secret Agent. It came out in about 1998. Also, sadly, on December 3rd, 1984 in India, in the early morning of December 3rd, a Union Carbine pesticide-producing plant leaked a highly toxic cloud onto the densely populated region of central India, of which about 800,000 people lived at the time. 2,000 died immediately, 300,000 were injured, and as many as 8,000 had died since. Devastating after-effects follows for years. The U.S., always good at protecting their corporate paymasters, blocks extradition of Union Carbine officials facing criminal prosecution in India. This week in radical history for December 4th, 1838, Democracy in Action, the Buckshot War. Angry mob assembles in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, when both Whigs and Democrats claim a majority in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives. Militia, equipped with buckshot, appear on the scene. A few Whig votes hastily change to the Democratic side, and the war is officially over. God bless American democracy. Also on December 4th, 1969, Black Panther activists Fred Hampton, 21, and Mark Clark, 22, as well as two others are murdered in their beds by Chicago police with the complicity of the FBI. This makes at least 19 Black Panther leaders killed in the past 18 months. You're about to hear a four-minute communique from the Weather Underground, clearly stated in the documentary on the Weather Underground, that it was the state murder of the Black Panther leaders Hampton and Clark that showed the Weather Underground people they needed to step up to more direct violence and confrontation against the FBI to at least draw police resources away from the Black Panthers and anti-war groups. Here is that recorded statement from the Weather Underground known as Communique Number 1.
Hello, this is Brandine Brown. I'm going to read a declaration of a state of war. This is the first communication from the Weatherman Underground. All over the world, people fighting American imperialism look to America's youth to use our strategic position behind enemy lines to join forces in the destruction of the empire. Black people have been fighting almost alone for years. We've known that our job is to lead white kids into armed revolution. We never intended to spend the next 5 or 25 years of our lives in jail. Ever since SDS became revolutionary, we've been trying to show how it is possible to overcome the frustration and impotence that comes from trying to reform this system. Kids know the lines are drawn. Revolution is touching all of our lives. Tens of thousands have learned that protests and marches don't do it. Revolutionary violence is the only way. Now we are adopting the classic guerrilla strategy of the Viet Cong and the urban guerrilla strategy of the Tupamaros to our own situation here in the most technically advanced country in the world. Che taught us that revolutionaries move like fish in the sea. The alienation and contempt that young people have for this country has created the ocean for this revolution. The hundreds and thousands of young people who demonstrated in the 60s against the war and for civil rights grew to hundreds of thousands in the past few weeks, actively fighting Nixon's invasion of Cambodia and the attempted genocide against black people. The insanity of American justice has added to its list of atrocities 6 blacks killed in Augusta, 2 in Jackson, and 4 white Kent State students, making thousands more into revolutionaries. The parents of privileged kids have been saying for years that the revolution was a game for us. But the war and the racism of this society show that it is too fucked up. We will never live peacefully under this system. This was totally true of those who died in the New York townhouse explosion. The third person who was killed there was Terry Robbins, who led the first rebellion at Kent State less than 2 years ago. The 12 weathermen who were indicted for leading last October's riots in Chicago have never left the country. Terry is dead. Linda was captured by a pig informer. But the rest of us move freely in and out of every city and youth scene in this country. We're not hiding out, but we're invisible. There are several hundred members of the Weathermen Underground, and some of us face more years in jail than the 50,000 deserters and draft dodgers now in Canada. Already many of them are coming back to join us in the underground, or to return to the man's army and tear it up from inside along with those who never left. We fight in many ways. Dope is one of our weapons. The laws against marijuana mean that millions of us are outlaws long before we actually split. Guns and grass are united in the youth underground. Freaks are revolutionaries, and revolutionaries are freaks. If you want to find us, this is where we are. In every tribe, commune, dormitory, farmhouse, barracks, and townhouse, where kids are making love, smoking dope, and loading guns, fugitives from American justice are free to go. For Diana Alton, Ted Gold, and Terry Robbins, and for all the revolutionaries who are still on the move here, there has been no question for a long time now. We will never go back. Within the next 14 days, we will attack a symbol or institution of American injustice. This is the way we celebrate the example of Eldridge Cleaver and H. Rapp Brown when all black revolutionaries who first inspired us by their fight behind enemy lines for the liberation of their people, never again will they fight alone.
Never again. Also in 1973, Abbie Hoffman and the Chicago Seven and their attorney are found guilty of contempt. Abbie Hoffman would say about the proceeding, quote, "When I appeared in the Chicago courtroom, I wanted to be tried not because I supported the Vietnamese Communist National Liberation Front, which I do, but because I have long hair. Not because I support the Black Liberation Movement, but because I smoke dope. Not because I'm against capitalist system, but because I think property eats. Not because I believe in student power, but that schools should be destroyed. Not because I'm against corporate liberalism, but because I think people should do whatever the fuck they want. Finally, I want to be tried for having a good time and not for being serious." Abbie Hoffman. Lastly, on December 4th, 1981, Acting President Reagan authorized CIA to spy on its citizens. The CIA charter originally banned domestic surveillance to prevent it from becoming a Gestapo. According to Howard Zinn, quote, "A few years back, a man high up in the CIA named Ray Klein was asked if the CIA, by its surveillance of protest organizations in the United States, was in violation of free speech provision of the First Amendment. He smiled and said, 'It's only an amendment.'" Okay, starting to run out of time, so only a couple items for December 5th, 1484. The Pope establishes severe penalties against German witches and magicians. Over the next 300 years, perhaps 200,000 accused witches are executed. Also on December 5th, 1901, fascist lover and FBI informer to the Hollywood subversives, animator and amusement park builder Walt Disney lives. Too bad. Okay, going right into this week in radical history for December 7th, 1928, Noam Chomsky lives. Linguistic anarchist, social critic, and activist. Since 1965, Chomsky has become one of the leading critics of U.S. foreign policy. He has many, many books and essays published arguing against American involvement in Vietnam, Latin America, and the Indonesian political involvement of East Timor. Chomsky has many contributions to anarchism, constantly stressing that we are all capable of becoming more aware of what is fundamentally right and wrong, and that life itself is bigger and brighter than passively consuming state-led propaganda and misinformation. Speaking of East Timor, on this date in 1975, with U.S. and British assistance, Indonesia invades and annexes East Timor, overthrowing the popularly elected government. The genocide that follows, an estimated one-third of East Timor population is slaughtered, rivals Cambodia's killing fields, but little attention is paid in U.S. media. Cambodia is the enemy, Indonesia's resource-rich U.S. client state. This has been This Week in Radical History, produced out of the Glee Glee Studios. Much of the rad info for this week's show came from the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website. Inspiration for this segment came from the Slingshot Organizer. Thank you guys very much. Quick shout out to 98.5 FM, Free Radio Olympia, the newest This Week in Radical History family member. The music I'll leave you this week is from a friend of mine who's getting a lot of attention in the alternative music scene. Check out more of his stuff at the Facebook website, search Underground Superstars. And until next week's This Week in Radical History, I am always and forever yours in the struggle, Mike Cannon. And deliver the numb down to the dirty crack ghetto slum.